Om sahana bhavatu,
sahana bhunaktu, saha viryam karavavahai, tejasvi navati tamasu mavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti.
Let's look at the verse that we're working on. Verse number one, it's on page 3, so repeat after me.
Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravrittau.
Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravrittau. Nirasta kilo padirakasha kalpaha. Nirasta kilo padirakasha kalpaha. Ravirloka cheshta nimittam yathayaha. Ravirloka cheshta nimittam yathayaha. Sanityo palabdhi swarupo hamatma. Sanityo palabdhi swarupo hamatma. Sandhu, just very briefly review this verse and then we'll go to the bhasha. Continue with the bhasha. Nimittam manas chakshus adi pravrittau. Nirasta akila upadhihi akasha kalpaha. Ravihi loka cheshta nimittam yatha yaha saha nitya upalabdhi swarupaha aham atma. The fourth line is going to be repeating all for all of the verses except the last one. Okay? The last line says aham atma, saha aham atma. I am that self, right? Nitya upalabhi swarupaha. I am that atma whose swarupa, whose nature, is timeless consciousness. Upalabhi here is being used as consciousness or awareness. So I am that self whose nature is timeless consciousness. Remember, this is how Hastamalika answered Shankara when Shankara asked, who are you? I am that self whose nature is timeless consciousness. Okay? Now go up to the second line, the end of the second line, yaha. I am that self, yaha, who? Okay? Who is, now go to the first line. Who is the nimittam? Who is the cause? Manas chakshuradi pravrittau. In reference to, regarding, or we in English we just say for the pravritti, for the functioning, for the activity of the mind and eyes, etc. And in the bhasha we saw it means for the functioning of the mind, the manas, etc., and the eyes, etc. So where manas stands for all of the four elements of the antakarana, and chakshu stands for, the eyes stand for all of the sense organs and organs of action. So there was a long bhasha breaking down this compound. But so now we have the basic sentence, saha aham atma yaha. I am that atma who is the nimittam, the hetu, the cause, for the functioning of the mind, eyes, etc. But this yaha, nominative singular, is nirasta akila upadhihi, bahubrahi, one for whom the upadhi, the conditioning adjunct, nirasta akila upadhi, akila upadhihi, all conditioning adjuncts, nirasta, are not there. For whom there is, the one, we in English we would say, nirasta also means devoid of. So the one who is devoid of all conditioning adjuncts, nirasta akila upadhihi, the one for whom all the conditioning adjuncts are not there, are refuted. They don't belong to that atma. Akasha kalpaha. Kalpaha, at the end of a compound, means like. Like space, similar to space. Akasha kalpaha. So now, saha aham atma yaha, the one who is like space, being devoid of all conditioning adjuncts. That one is the nimittam, the cause for the pravritti, the activity, the engaging, the functioning of the mind, chakshus, etc. Ravihi loka cheshta nimittam yata. Yata. Just as the ravihi, the sun, is the nimittam, the cause, for the loka cheshta, the activity in the world. Cheshta means the activity, the movement, the activity, movement, motion in the world. Okay, so that's the verse that we went over.
And I thought the normal word for sun is Surya.
There's a lot of words for Surya. Surya is sun also.
Okay.
That's Sanskrit, many, many words. In English, you try to think for another word for sun and you're off. But in Sanskrit, there's lots.
Pages.
So, go to the verse, page 5, the very bottom of page 5. Soham Atma Iti Sambandha. So you see that at the bottom of page of the Sanskrit in page 5. This, the Bhasha up to this point has just talked about the self being the cause, being the cause for all of the activities of the mind, sense organs, etc. So, and then it says, if it says the hetuhu, the cause, hetuhu yaha saha aham atma, I am that atma who is the cause for the activities of the sense organs and the mind and the organs of action, right? So now we need to finish that sentence. So on page 6, because if I say to you, I am the cause for the activity of the mind, sense organs, and I'm free from space, all of these things. But once you say, I am the self who is the cause for all of these, there's going to be what's called an akanksha. An akanksha is, if I make a sentence to you that's incomplete or a thought that's incomplete, it rises an expectancy. An expectancy will rise in your mind, asking for the rest of more information. So here, now that it's said, I am that Atma who is the cause for the activity of the world, then you go, well, what is that Atma like? Right? So here, on top of page 6, repeat after me now. I'll read it first without the sandhi. I with the sandhi in it, without breaking the sandhi. Sa hi drisha. Repeat. Sa hi drisha. Itya kangsha yam aha. Kangsha yam aha. Nityo palabdhi riti.
Nityo palabdhi riti.
Now watch it with a sandhi. Saha ki drishaha iti akankshayam aha. Nitya upalabdhi iti. Okay? Saha ki drishaha. What kīdṛśaḥ means, what it's interrogative, right? And kīdṛśaḥ means, what is its nature? What is it like? Saha kīdṛśaḥ, what is that like? The saha refers back to saha aham atma. I am that atma, yahahu, right? So that atma, saha atma, kīdṛśaḥ, saha kīdṛśaḥ, iti. What is that like? Iti akankṣāyam, locative. For akanksha is feminine, so akanksha yam is the locative singular. So when there is the akanksha, the expectancy means you're left waiting. You haven't been given enough information. You need more words. So when there is the akanksha, saha kīdṛśaḥa aha, right? He says. So when the akanksha kīdṛśaḥa, what is that like? Is there? He says. Okay. Aha, he says. Nitya upalabdhihi. Nitya upalabdhihi. Karma dharya, which is actually, well, we'll see later, but for now. Nitya upalabdhihi. Those two words by themselves are karma dharya, means that nitya is an adjective to upalabdhi in this compound. So consciousness which is eternal, timeless. Right? So what is that atma like? Nitya upalabdhihi. It is timeless consciousness. Nitya upalabdhi is from the verse. Okay. So now, when we're doing a bhasha, you always have to keep the verse in mind. So you might just keep that page 3 available to you. And on the fourth line of page 3 is what they're working on now, where it says, Nitya upalabdhi swarupaha aham atma. Everybody see that? That means that nitya
Upalabdhi, Swarupaha. That's a compound. So now we have to know what kind of a compound. Compound means they've dropped the endings off the words, every word except the end word. So it makes as though a grammatical unit of one word, made of three or four words. So here it is. Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha. So now he has to break that for us.
So the compound eliminates adding the endings.
For everything except the last yeah, member.
Okay.
So let's see how he breaks it. Nitya, nityam is time, is an adjective. So nitya, right away it's telling us that it's going to be an adjective to something feminine. Nitya cha asau upalabdhis cha. Iti, repeat after me. Nitya cha.
Nitya cha.
Asavupalabdhischeti.
Asavupalabdhischeti.
Nityopalabdhihi.
Nityopalabdhihi.
Sa swarupam.
Sa swarupam.
Yasya.
Yasya.
Sa tatoktaha.
Sa tatoktaha.
Okay. I'm going to read it with the Sunday broken. Nitya cha. Asau upalabdhihi cha iti nitya upalabdhihi sa swarupam yasya sa tata uktihi tatoktihi. So nit timeless and asau, this consciousness and. This is how you break a karmadharya compound where both members, one, are in the same case. If I say timeless consciousness, timeless is an adjective to consciousness, right? So they're talking about the atma, the self which is timeless, and it is consciousness, the self which is timeless consciousness. So here, that's all they're doing is doing the what we call the vigraha to the compound. They're breaking the compound in a style which is typical of the Karmadharya. So in Karmadharya, you want to take the two words of the compound that show an adjectival relationship, nitya and upalabdhi. So you would say nitya cha, it's timeless, and asau upalabdhi cha, it is timeless. And this which is timeless is consciousness. So it's a technical style for breaking the karmadharya complex compound, which just shows an adjectival or appositional relationship. Right?
This upalabdhi?
Consciousness.
Which is different than chaitanya?
No, it's being used as same as chaitanya.
Exactly.
Okay. So this says nitya upalabdhihi. So you say nitya cha asau upalabdhihi cha iti nitya upalabdhihi, timeless consciousness. He has just given the vigraha, he has just broken the first two words of this compound, which is nitya upalabdhi swarupaha. The compound has three words in it. He's just broken the first two. So now he says, sa, that, because upalabdhi is feminine. So now the sa refers back to nityopalabdhihi. Sa swarupam yasya saha satoktaha. That swarupam for whom? That nityopalabdhihi. We would say with ad asti, that is the swarupa for whom? For whom that is the nature. Saha, that is satoktaha, as has been said. Tatha, just as has been told. What has been told? Nitya upalabdhi swarupaha in the verse, right? So, sa, that, which is timeless consciousness, that swarupam, nature, is for whom? For whom? That whose nature, in English we'd say that whose nature is timeless consciousness, saha, that one, tata uktaha, is as has been told in the verse, nitya upalabdhi swarupaha. See how technical it is? This is actually, when you're teaching or you're reading verses on your own, sometimes you don't know how to break the compound. How do they break this compound? It'll always be here. Breaking the compound is part of the task of a bhasha. If the compound seems difficult or could be taken in different ways, they'll do the vigraha on it in the bhasha, plus giving synonyms for all of the words. So you know, because the words could be taken in different ways, they'll give one, sometimes two synonyms. Okay. So, speaking of synonyms, ravihi, repeat after me. Adityaha. Yata. Yena prakarena. Prakashakatvena. Lokanam. Cheshtayam. Spandane. Nimittam hetuhu. It's good for now. Ravihi means adityaha, another synonym for sun. Okay, so ravihi means adityaha, sun. Synonym. That's, so you say ravihi equals adityaha. They're just side by side giving a synonym. The word yata from the verse, the word yata usually translate as just as. So he says, yena prakarena. In what manner? In which manner? Right? Prakara means the way, the manner that something is done. So yena prakarena, he's just giving you a synonym, a definition of yata. Normally not necessary to do, but he's doing it. Yata, just as, means yena prakarena, in what manner. Now he even gives more. Remember in the verse, it says, just as the sun is the cause for the activity of the world. So now we say, just as the sun is the cause. So if you, just as, what do you mean, just as the sun? How is the sun the cause of the activity in the world? When you say just as, we should take that for granted, right? Just as the sun is the cause for the activity of the world, in the same way, the Atma is the changeless Atma is the cause for the activity of the sense organs. So he wants you to know what he means by just as. So first he goes, just a definition of just as, yena prakarena, in that, in which manner, in which way, yena prakarena. Prakashakatvena, that's how, it's that's where the just as, because of being because of being one that illumines. So you could just that twain it because of being. So just as means as being one that illumines. That's the just as, defining what makes the just as, what's the similarity. So that twain it, you could say because of being the illuminator or as an illuminator. Okay. Lokanam. Lokanam is in the plural. So now the word loka, we talked about this last night. The word loka can be the different spheres in the creation, like the heaven world, this world, the hell world, all of the different worlds in the creation are the lokas. Individuals are also lokas. So here where they say lokanam, I can say for the people, or I can say for all of the worlds, whatever I decide, right? You have to get that by context. So lokanam cheshtayam, he's breaking the compound now without going through the gymnastics of it. But if you look at the verse, loka cheshtanimittam is a compound. It's a three-part compound. So now he's just simply breaking it for you by putting the endings on. So for loka, he says lokanam. For cheshta, he says, cheshtayam, locative singular. Then he decides, let me give a synonym for cheshta, spandane. Cheshta means motion or activity. Spandana also means motion, movement, vibration, very rapid movement, fluttering. You know, like if you see, for instance, if you look at a candle flame and you see that if you look carefully, it's moving very quickly, it's sputtering, you know. There's a vibration going on there. There's a very rapid motion, is usually spandanam. Can also just mean motion. He's giving it as an adjective to cheshta, which just means motion or activity. So in English, what you have to do when you're translating, you have to say, well, what word would I use in this context that has to do with motion or activity or vibration or, you know, what word would fit what he's trying to say. So cheshtayam eases spandana. Spandana is in the locative singular. The third word of the compound is nimittam, which means hetu, cause. So here you've got no translation for loka, nothing for loka. Cheshtayam he defines as spandana, nimittam as hetuhu. So now what we have is the cause. He uses a locative. In English, we'd say they're the cause for the activity of the worlds or of the people. The cause for the activities of the people. Okay? Everybody see that? Because as being the by being the illuminator, Vakashikatvena Lokanam, page 6. Vakashikatvena Lokanam, Cheshtayam, Spandane, Nimittam, Hetuhu. Okay? So what does it say? Ravihi adityaha yata yena prakarena prakashakatvena lokanam cheshtayam spandane nimittam hetuhu. Just as the sun is the cause, the hetu, for the activity of all the worlds or of all beings. Read after me. Tataiva. Adishtatritvena
yo
nimittam
soham
atmatyekyartaha iti iyam drishtihi atmajnano payatvena Darshita. Sandhi. Tata eva. Adishtatritvena. Yaha. Nimittam. Saha. Aham. Atma. Iti. Arittaha. Iti iyam drishtihi atma jnana upayatvena darshita. Vriti? Tata eva. Remember, yata and tata go together. One's relative to the correlative. Yata just as, tata similarly. Yata in what manner? Tata in that manner. Okay, so the two go together. So here, if you say tata eva, and in the verse there is no tata, so he's supplying it for you. You don't always have to say yata, tata. If you say yata, tata is understood. In the Bhasha, they'll supply it. So tata eva, similarly indeed. Eva's just giving emphasis. You might not translate it. Okay. In your translation, but it's giving emphasis. So I'll just say, tata eva, similarly indeed. Adishtatritvena. Do you remember previously we said prakashakatvena? Yata yena prakarena prakashakatvena? Just as by being the illuminator. Tata eva adishtatritvena. Similarly, indeed, because of being the adishtatra. Adishtatra is often translated as presiding deity. The adishtatra is the conscious principle, the conscious being that is, what can I say, behind the eyes, the conscious being associated with the eyes, the conscious being associated with the ears, the conscious being, if we're talking about Ishwara, the deity of the sun, the deity of the moon, the deity of the wind, or Ishwara himself as the Nimitta Karanam. So often it's translated Adishtatra as presiding deity, one, or the one who presides over. And whatever we translate that as, we have to comment on it, what we mean, because we don't have really something similar, like even in English, if you say presiding deity or the one who presides over or the interior conscious being. All of it will have to be unfolded, right? That's the nature of Sanskrit. So here I'm just going to use presiding deity for now. So similarly, as the presiding deity, or as the one who presides over, yaha, he who nimittam, he who is the nimittam, the cause. Remember previously, when we were talking about ravihi, we described, they gave the synonym for nimittam as hetuhu. Okay? So here, nimittam hetuhu, the one who is the hetu, the cause, because of being, by being the presiding deity, saham, or you can just say as the presiding deity, saha aham atma, I am that self. I am that self, who is the presiding deity. I am that self, who is the cause by being the presiding deity. Just as the sun, right, by being the illuminator, the prakashaka, by being one who illumines, is the cause for all of the activity in the world. Similarly, tata eva, adishtatvatvena, yaha nimittam, saha aham atma, ityartaha. Ityartha, thus the meaning. So Chakra uses ending sentences in ityartha all the time. Thus, this is the meaning. That's what it, you know. So he feels, okay, I've made this sentence clear. You should understand what it means now. Then he has an aside here. Iti. Iyam drishtihi.
Iyam drishtihi.
Atma jnana upayatvena. Darshita.
Darshita.
Iti vas. You have this page 6, right?
I don't.
I caught you. Page 6. Okay. Page 6, fourth line down. Iti iyam drishtihi. I want you to repeat after me again. Have we done it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Thus, this drishtihi. Drishti means sight, vision, view. So here probably it can even be idea or notion, but drishtihi, we have to decide. I decided on view, so let's see what it means. It, iyam drishtihi, drishti is feminine, so iyam drishtihi, nominative singular, this drishti, atma jnana upayatvena, darshita. Let's just start, drishtihi darshita. This view, iyam drishtihi darshita, is put forward, it's presented to you. Darshita, it's shown, presented. Okay? This is a past passive participle, a causal past passive participle of drish. Drish means to see. The causal means to show, to make somebody see. So this vision, this way of presenting it, is shown, is presented. Atma jnana upayatvena, as an upaya, as a means, methodology. Upaya means a means for atma-jnanam, for self-knowledge. So in other words, this is being presented, it's being shown to you in this way as a teaching tool for giving you atma-jnanam, right? Because actually the atma is not a cause for anything. The atma is changeless. It's like space. It has no upadis at all. But by lakshana, right, we have to make you see What is the conscious factor in all of this? Even though from the standpoint of the Atma, there's just pure consciousness. It's not contributing to anything. But from the standpoint of the Upadhi, it becomes, right, the cause for all of this activity, in a sense. So that's why he says, as an Upaya, as a means for Atma Jnana, this view, Iyam Drishtihi Darshita, is presented. Darshita, nominative singular feminine. Param artha tastu, Repeat.
Param.
Nirastaha.
Nirastaha.
Nirakritaha.
Nirakritaha.
Akilaha.
Akilaha.
Niravasheshaha.
Niravasheshaha.
Upadhyaha. Upadhyo.
Upadhyo.
Buddhyadi.
Buddhyadi.
Lakshanaha.
Lakshanaha.
Yes, yes, sir.
Yes, yes, sir.
Tatoktaha.
Tatoktaha.
Okay. Sandhi. Parama artataha tu. Paramartataha tu. Nirastaha. Nirakritaha. Akilaha. Niravasheshaha. Upadhyaha. Buddhi adi lakshanaha yasya saha tatha uktaha. Okay.
Could you do the first word again?
You know, paramartha. So it's parama artha taha. Paramartha taha. Two. That the sarga there is a sarga. So you see, paramartha tas tu.
Okay.
Paramartha taha tu.
Okay.
That tasil, it's a, in Panini, you'll learn it's a tasil ending, tasi, tas. That taha that you see, it makes the word into an adverb or an indeclinable. And a lot of the times it'll have the sense of the fifth case, but, it'd be like from the standpoint of reality, but the word paramarthataha usually just translates as an indeclinable, meaning in reality, right? Because say from the absolute, you know. But paramarthataha just normally just translate as in reality. So paramarthataha too would be whereas or but in reality, okay? Paramarthataha too. Because it's just said, you know, this way of presenting it is really just as a teaching methodology for Atmajnana.
Is paramartha one word or is it param and then artha?
No, paramartha. But it's a compound, right? Between parama and artha. So it becomes one word because it's a compound.
And then the ending is added to
the word, yeah. So paramartha is a compound between parama and artha, and now it becomes one word, paramartha. And to that word now, because a compound is one word, the taha ending is added. So you translate it as like in reality, to, whereas, or but. So but in reality, nirastaha, from the verse of the compound you have nirasta akila upadi. Nirastaha, he says, means nirakritaha. In all cases it means without or refuted or devoid of, so gone. Okay. Void of, being devoid of or void of is the best translation, I think. So nirastaha, he gives a synonym, nirakritaha. Akilaha, from the compound, he gives a synonym, niravasheshaha. Akila is a word that comes all the time. It means all, whole, complete, entirely. Niravisheshaha is a synonym for that, and it means nir means without. Avishesha means remainder, without anything left over. So he gives niravisheshaha as a compound for akilaha. Okay? So now if you notice in this compound, nirasta akila upadhihi, right? All of them are in the same case. So upadhyaha is in the, he's defining it in the nominative plural. Akilaha upadhyaha, all upadhis, right? Nirastaha, having been dismissed, devoid of. So nirastaha is in nominative plural, akilaha is in nominative plural, all are feminine because upadhi is feminine, upadhyaha, short e feminine ending, is in nominative plural. Then He wants to tell you what he means in this instance by upadis. Buddhyadi lakshanaha. Again in namat to plural. Lakshana, when it comes at the end of a compound, often can be translated, even though it's a bahuvahi, it can be translated as characterized by, defined by. But if I did it as a bahuvahi, the one whose lakshanas, characteristics of buddhi, etc. The upadis, what do we mean that by the upadis? The upadis are defined by the buddhi, etc. Buddhi, mind, sense organs, karma, indriyas. So buddhyadi means anything that can take the ahankara to itself. Makes it an upadi. So buddhi, etc. We characterize buddhi, adi, lakshanaha. Adi, buddhi, adi. That which begins with the buddhi. That's what it has for its first member, the buddhi.
Is that a common synonym for upadhi? Buddhi-adi lakshanaha?
No, it's not a synonym. In this case, it's a definition. Yeah. You see where it says yasya? Yasya saha tatoktaha? That is how you do make a bahuvrihi. For whom? All of the upadis are not there. For the one who is devoid of all upadis. Again, when we really go through and teach you all the compounds, you'll learn these in detail. But when I say it's a bahuvrihi compound, what I mean is that I've just given you a name. Right? This is now your name. Your name is, hey, nirastakila upadihi, come here. But if I were to break that up, and I was reading about bahuvrihis the other day. Here's a good example in English. If I say, you are a person who has a kind heart. That's a full sentence. There's no compound. But if I say, the kind-hearted, you are kind-hearted. You are a person who has a kind heart. If I were to do the vigraha of it, I say, you are kind-hearted. Hey, kind-hearted, come here. And in Sanskrit, they'll, hey, kind-hearted person, come here, right? The person, the kind-hearted, becomes an adjective to the person, right? So if I break that up and put it into English without a compound, you are a person whose heart is kind. Oh, kind-hearted one means you are one whose heart is kind. So do you see that yesya here? For whom, if I say, nirastakila upadhi, O you who are devoid of all upadis. Right? Who is it referring to? It's referring to the aham atma. I am that atma who is devoid. Right? Who is devoid of all upadis? So Bahubhavi just makes a name for you. It happens all of the time. And if you're reading, like when we're doing the Bhagavad Gita, how Arjuna is always, or Krishna is always being addressed, the great armed one, you know, like that, Mahabaho, oh Mahabaho, oh great arm. Oh, we're not talking to the great arm, right? We're talking to the one who has great arms, who has big arms. Hey, Mahabaho, it's very common. So I'll keep pointing these out. It's so commonly used in Sanskrit. So you make a bahuvrihi that's taking a whole list of qualities and making that a name for something else. The whole list becomes an adjective for something else. So here...
So kind-hearted is kind of like an English compound, is that?
Yeah. So nirasta akila upadihi becomes a bahuvrihi compound, adjectival to the self, to the Atma, who is devoid of all upadis, right? So that's where it says, yes, yes, saha, tata uptaha, just as it has been told. So that's a shortcut, just as has been said. Instead of having to write out the whole compound again, he says, as has been said, tatoktaha. Repeat after me. Nirasta nirastakilo padi twat Tvadeva. Ayam akasha kalpaha. Akashavad vishuddha. Ityartaha. Breaking the Sandhi. Nirasta akila upadhi, the also upadhi twat. Upadhi twat eva ayam akasha kalpaha akashavat vishiddha iti artaha. Now he's just told you what this compound means, so now he's going to say nirasta akila upadhi twat. Twat, because of being, right? Good way to translate twat. Because of being, and remember this was a bahuva, because of being one for who is devoid of all upadis. So we're just going to define that compound as it was, as we have just done. Because of being one who is a nirasta akila upadhi, one for whom the, all the upadis are, one who is devoid of all upadis, eva indeed, ayam, this, ayam atma, this one, ayam, akasha kalpaha, is like space. This one is akasha kalpaha, like space, one who is like space. Akasha vat, akasha kalpaha means what? Akasha vat. Akasha vat means like space. Vat is an indeclinable affix that when it's put on, it has other meanings too. It could be vat that's declined like von. But if it's an indeclinable affix, it just simply means like. Akasha vat, like space. What, how is it like space? Vishuddha. Akasha vat, vishuddha. Vishuddha means pure, right? Pure like space. So if you say, because of being free of all the upadis, being devoid of all upadis, it is like space. Like space, how is it like space? Vishuddha, like space. Pure like space. Ityardha, that's the meaning. What do you see?
Can you give the last word?
Iti artaha, thus the meaning. Okay, let's take a little stand-up break. Get some more tea. All right, top of page 7. Repeat after me. Nanu.
Nanu.
Manas chakshuradi pravrittau.
Manas chakshuradi
pravrittau.
Kim artam.
Adishtata.
Adishtata.
Ishyate.
Ishyate.
Breaking the sandhi. Nanu. Manas. Chakshus. Adi. Pravrittau.
It's not chakshuhu?
It's actually... in usage, it would become chakshuhu, but the word is actually chakshus and manas. Manas, chakshus, adi, pravrittau. Kim, artam, adishtata, ishyate. Nanu means doubt. Usually just translate it doubt, colon. And it just makes it very easy to... Sometimes they don't have that, and you have to... Especially in the Brahma Sutras or in some texts, they'll put the doubt in there without saying that it's a doubt. So you have to yourself recognize that it's a doubt. It can be confusing sometimes.
Swamiji always loves that word. He emphasizes it.
He does.
Nanu.
So nanu. Manas chakshuradi pravrittau. We already did that compound previously. So it says in the loc, and the whole compound is done in the locative singular. We would say in reference to or for the functioning of the mind, eyes, etc. And remember we went through the whole vigraha of this compound. So just now we'll use for pravritti, functioning or activity. For the activity of the mind, eyes, etc. Kim arutam? For what purpose? Kim arutam? For the sake of what? For what? Why? It's just kim arutam means for what purpose or why. Adishtata, from adishtatra, nominative singular. For what purpose? For what reason? Adishtata ishyate is an adishtata brought in. What is the need? Ish means really just to desire. Is it? Why is it desired? Why is it prescribed? Why is it brought in? If you were to look it up in the dictionary, the first level of meaning is just to desire. But it means, why do you lay this down? Why do you prescribe this? Why are you bringing this in? Why? What is the use? What is the purpose of an adishtata, a presiding deity, from adishtatra, nominative singular? In terms of for the functioning of the mind and for the functioning of the mind's eyes, etc., why do you bring in English you say, why do you bring in an adishtata? Why do you need an adishtata, presiding deity? Okay? Swayam, repeat after me. Swayam eva.
Swayam eva.
Kasmana.
Kasmana.
Pravartante.
Pravartante.
Sandhi. Swayam eva. Kasmat. Na. Pravartante. So he adds to the question. Swayam is reflexive. So let's take that last. Swayam eva, it would be like this. Kasmat, why? Kasmat, because of what reason? Or just why? But literally, kasmat, because of what? Because of what reason? Na pravartante. Why don't they function on their own? Swayam eva. Why don't they function themselves, by themselves alone? So we would say in English, so why don't they function on their own? Why do they need an adishtata? What's the use? What's the purpose of bringing in an adishtata, presiding deity there? Why don't they function on their own? Do you see that? What's the reason for that? Katam cha nityopalabdhi svarupatvam adishtatu rishyate. Ityata aha. Follow along. I'm reading a little too fast. I'm going to go at a much slower pace because there's different levels of comfort with this scripture. Katam cha nitya upalabdi. There's the sandhi there. Nityopalabdi. Swarupatvam adhishtatuhu vishyate iti attaha sandhi ityattaha iti attaha aha. Katamcha. Katam means really how or in what manner. How? And how? Nitya upalabdhi swarupatvam. The tvam gives and makes the noun or the compound abstract. You could say the state of being. It gives the state of being or the ness. Like if I said consciousness, right? Conscious or the state of being conscious. The state of being conscious is the tvam. The consciousness is the tvam. So it makes an abstract. And so now if you make an abstract noun like this, out of this compound, the state of being one whose swarupa is nitya upalabdhi. Because remember, this is a bahuvrihi, so it would be one whose swarupa is timeless consciousness, one whose nature is timeless consciousness. Adishtatuhu. Adishtatuhu is now put in the genitive singular. So if you have a tvam, the thing that it's referring to will be in the genitive, like you would say, the consciousness of the person, right? The person's consciousness, the consciousness of the person. So the swarupa right, of the presiding deity, right? So sometimes you don't want to use that, the swarupa of the presiding deity. You might want to say the presiding deity is the one who has this swarupa. You can say like that too. But you're always with a twam. You're going to have that abstract, and it's going to be referring to something put in the genitive, right? So here you have the state of being one whose swarupa is the timeless consciousness for the presiding deity. So the presiding deity is one whose swarupa is timeless consciousness. Katam. Katam ishate. Why is that necessary? Ishri means desire, to be necessary, to be wanted, prescribing. Why are you putting this? Why are you bringing this in? Why is it necessary for the presiding deity to be consciousness, lit timeless consciousness? Okay. What is the reason for that? Okay. Iti ataha aha. Thus, he says, when he said, iti, you've just presented the doubt. So this doubt has been presented. Because this doubt has been presented, this is what is in the person's mind. Right? So therefore, he says, right?
Yeah, it's in my mind too.
Right. Does everybody see? Let's look at verse 2.
Yamagnyushneva nitya bodha swarupam. Yamagnyushneva nitya bodha swarupam. Manas chakshura dinya bodhatmakani. Manas chakshura dinya bodhatmakani. Pravartanta ashritya nishkampamekam. Pravartanta ashritya nishkampamekam. Sinityo palabdhi swarupo hamatma. Sinityo palabdhi swarupo hamatma.
Sandhi. Yam agni. I plus u is u, right? Yam agni. Ushnavat. Ushnavat becomes ushnavan before a nasal, the nakara. So ushnavat, nitya, bodha, swarupam. Yam agni ushnavat nitya bodha swarupam. Manas, chakshus, adini, abhodha atmakani. See that e plus a is ya. Adinya, adini, abhodha atmakani. Pravartante, a drops. Pravartante, ashritya. Nishkampam ekam saha nitya upalabdhi swarupaha aham atma. Okay. Bottom line. If we go saha, aham atma, I am that atma whose swarupa is nitya upalabdhi swarupaha, aham atma. Your basic sentence is saha, aham atma, I am that atma. And then it's going to have to connect with the rest of the verse. And there's going to be a correlative there somewhere. And this correlative is there at the yam, right? The relative, yam. I am that atma. Whom? And that yam is in the accusative singular. Right? So now, let's look for some more. I am that atma whom? So far, so yam. Agni means fire. Ushna means heat. Agni ushnavat. Like the heat of fire. Compound. Agni ushnavat. Like the heat of fire. Nitya bodha swarupam. The nitya, timeless, Buddha, consciousness, Swarupa, the one whose Swarupa, whose nature is timeless consciousness, like the heat of fire. Right?
Where does it say like?
Vat. Agni. Ushnavat. Like the heat of fire, the one whose Swarupa is timeless consciousness. So Yam, Agni Ushnavat, Nitya Buddha Swarupam. First line. We're going to have to pull all this together. We won't pull together at all until the third line. Let's look at the second line. Manas, mind, chakshu, eyes, adi, beginning with. So we could say etc. In English we'll often say etc. Mind, eyes, etc. In the plural. Manas, chakshuradi. Okay. This is going to be in the neuter nominative singular. The manas chakshuradini abodatmakani. We see atmaka at the end of a compound. It means one whose nature is aboda. Insentient, not conscious, inert. Okay, all of these you have to define. But say bodha means consciousness here. A bodha will be what? Not consciousness. Okay. So, manas chakshuradini, and then adjectival to that, abodatmakani, whose nature is, whose swarupa, use the swarupa, whose nature is a bodha. So the mind, eyes, etc., which are unconscious, not sentient by nature. Okay? Pravartante, they proceed, they function. Pravartante and pravritti are from the same root, pravrit. They function, they are active, they engage in. So the best, probably one of the best words here is, well, how do the mind and eyes function? How do they engage in their activities? Right. So function is a good word to use there. So the mind, eyes, etc., which are insentient by nature, abodatmakani, pravartante, they proceed, they function, third person plural, because manaschakshuradi is in the nominative plural. They function ashritya, indeclinable past participle, means depending on which. So the ashritya is going to go like this: depending on whom. The manas, etc., function. Yam from the top. Depending on whom, the mind, etc., function. The mind, eyes, etc., function. Depending upon whom. Ashritya. Indeclinable past participle takes the ya with a ta when it has a preposition in front of it. So you haven't learned those. I've talked to you about indeclinable past participles before, but not the actual structure of them. So ashritya means depending upon such and such, they do such and such, they proceed. So it's going to show sequence of action of the same subject. So the one subject is the mind eyes, having depended on or depending upon, right, the atma, they function. Okay, so one subject. The subject, having depended upon something, that subject functions in this way. So ashritya, depending upon the atma, on that which. depending on that. So far it says, the mind, eyes, etc., which are insentient by nature, they function depending on the one who, depending on whom, who's the one whose swarupa is timeless consciousness, like the nature of fire is heat, like heat for fire, right? That one, they have to go back down to the third line, nishkampam ekam. That one, so more adjectives, that one is nishkampam. Nishkampam means still, not free from any tremors, free from any change. Kampa is like, say if there's an earthquake and everything starts shaking, that's kampam. Kampa, Nishkampam, it means there's no tremoring, there's no shaking, it's completely still, nishkampam. You can say changeless, without motion, free from any activity, nishkampam. Okay. Ekam means one. All of these are in the accusative plural, right? Accusative singular, going along with that self, the yam, accusative singular. Nitya bodhisvarupam, accusative singular. Ekam nishkampam, accusative singular. Depending on that self, which is one, which is free from change, whose swarupa is timeless consciousness, like heat is the nature of fire, right? And heat is the truth of fire. So depending on that one, the mind eyes, which are insentient by nature, function. I am that self who is timeless consciousness. So it's hard to make this. In fact, I don't like my translation at all. It's still very rough for me, because I'm still trying to make the translation something that the student can use to read the Sanskrit. And so I find the translation very awkward, and I just have to work with it until I get it to have some sort of poetic sense and still be true to them. To who?
Yeah. But then we have the adhisthana. You know, it must be the same word, right?
It comes from the same base, right. But adhisthatra means we don't use it as substratum. If you look up adhisthatra or just in the convention, we use it as presiding deity. But it really is the one who is the substance, right. The being, the conscious being that's there. That conscious being is the adhisthana. But, yeah.
I think you're also nitya uplabdhi. Uplabdhi generally is whether you're able to obtain something, right? Or is it available? Does it have that?
Uplabdhi usually means knowledge, but you asked me that before.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
Over here,
it's translated as consciousness, though.
I know.
Okay.
Could be translated as, you get
that. Think of it as towards obtaining. Towards attainment.
Attainment,
maybe,
yeah.
Or
because love means
to attain,
okay. To gain.
And
yeah. Upa means near.
Near.
Become
so
near.
You're approaching attainment.
Mm. It might as well look it up. Yeah. But then we'll forget and have to look it up again.
I won't ask anymore.
Yes,
no. No, it's a good question, Kiki. But listen, upalabdhihi, feminine noun, okay?
Mm.
Getting, obtaining, acquisition. That's your, how you know it, which is true. But two, observation, perception, knowledge, okay? Understanding, mind, a conjecture, guess, perceptibility, appearance. And see, knowledge, the word knowledge, jnanam, is also used in the sense of awareness or consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to be moving into a big discussion here about how can you say, you know, upalabdhi or bodha. This means knowledge. Knowledge to me means cognition. Are you saying that the atma is a cognition? Well, cognition comes and goes. That's not possible. So there's a huge discussion about that. So it's a good question. Okay? Let's go to page... Everybody get the Sanskrit here on this? Let's do one sentence here that will sum this up, and then we'll do the big discussion. We'll start next week. Repeat after me. Yam. Nitya bodha swarupam atmanam.
Nitya bodha swarupam atmanam.
Ashtitya. Page 8, Ed. Are you on page
8? Yeah, finally got it.
Okay. So yam. Nitya bodha swarupam atmanam, then ashritya.
Ashritya.
Manas chakshuradini.
Manas chakshuradini.
Pravartante.
Pravartante.
Soham atmeti.
Soham atmeti.
Sambandha.
Sambandha.
Now with the Sunday. Yam Nitya Bodha Swarupam Atmanam Ashritya Manas chakshus adini pravartante saha aham atma iti sambandha. So he's giving the anvaya. Anvaya means the word order here. Saha, no, yam, whom. From the verse, again, it's kind of nice to have the verse 2 available to you. Yam, from the verse. And then he's saying, nitya bodhisvarupam, from the verse, right? And then adding atmanam. Yam is in the accusative, singular, which. Nitya, timeless, Bodha, consciousness, Swarupam, the one whose Swarupa is Nitya Bodha, Bahuvahi. Nitya Bodha Swarupam Yasya would be added. Whose Swarupa, whose nature is timeless consciousness. What is that? Atmanam. He's adding that here. The self whose nature is Nitya Bodha Swarupam. Ashritya. So he's giving you a word order. Depending upon, right? Having depending upon the self, whose nature is timeless consciousness. So depending upon which self, whose nature is timeless consciousness, yam nitya bodha swarupam atmanam ashritya. Now, manas chakshuradini. The mind, the eyes, the manas mind, the eyes, chakshus, adi, etc. The mind, eyes, etc. Pravartante, function. So depending on which Atma, whose nature is Nitya Bodha, timeless consciousness, the mind, eyes, etc., proceed, function. Okay? Saha aham Atma. I am that self. I am that self, depending upon whom. I am that self whose nature is Nitya Bodha Swarupa, depending upon who the mind, eyes, etc., function. Then when it says iti sambandha, thus the connection, what he's done in this first line is give you a syntactical connection, because the soham atma is way at the end of the verse, and the nitya swarupa atma, the yam nitya swarupam, nitya bodha swarupam, is at the beginning of the verse. So he's bringing those three to giving you a word order there, and that's the sambandha means connection. But I put in brackets, syntactical, so that you understand what he's doing is trying to put all of these words together in a sentence so that you understand the word order there. Okay, so iti sambandha, that's the sambandha.
Well, is the word order confusing, or would it be natural for people when they read the verses that they would see that, the word order?
It's sometimes really helpful to have somebody do that for you, especially in the long sentences. Right? Yeah.
Would it always could be that way?
Yeah. Let's do this first couple. We've got a few more minutes. Just the first, this first one. Nanu, would you ask me? Nanu? Katam bodhasya.
Katam bodhasya.
Nityatvam.
Nityatvam.
Nanu gives the doubt. Katam, how? Bodhasya for Bodha, Nityatvam. How can there be timelessness for Bodha? Because Bodha usually just means knowledge or cognition. So he's taking this word Bodha, says you're using the word Bodha. And as we'll see, he's thinking Bodha means a cognition. How can there be timelessness, Tvam, for knowledge? How can and in English you might say, how can knowledge be timeless? But literally it says, because we don't use these abstracts. In Sanskrit, they use this abstract construction all the time, and it gets a little awkward and tedious in English sometimes. So instead of saying, how can there be timelessness for knowledge, right? You would just say, how can knowledge be timeless? You see? You have to decide. Sometimes you want to keep the abstract, sometimes you don't. So here it says, Bodho hi nama jnanam. Read. Bodho hi nama jnanam. Bodha hi nama jnanam. He here means because. The word he can mean because or indeed. It can give emphasis or it can be because. So you always have to be careful. And usually if the word he comes in a verse, unless it's very obvious, they'll always say either he is Tasmat or he is Eva, so that you're clear what it means. So here it says, because bodhaha nama means, the bodhaha nama is like saying this word nama. Bodhaha nama means the word nama, this word bodha. Doesn't mean you're not going to say the name nama. The name, because nama means name, but you're not going to say the name bodha. In English we'd say, this quotes, this word bodha is jnanam, means jnanam. Tetcha. And jnanam, this is something important to understand too. The word jnanam can mean knowledge, like atma jnanam, but it can also mean a cognition, right? A cognition can be like a antakarana vritti, a thought modification. That thought modification can be a true cognition, or it could be mithya jnanam, a false cognition. But I still have the cognition. Like if I mistake a rope for a snake, I'm having a cognition of snake, right? That's mithya jnanam. It's a cognition, but it's a false cognition. If I want to make emphasize that the jnanam is a true cognition, I use the word prama, right? Prama means it's a valid knowledge. It's a valid cognition. So that means if the sadarpa, if the snake there is really a snake, then it's prama. Prama can't be mithya prama. Prama just means a true. It's true to the object. But if I say jnanam, I'm just talking about the cognition. It can be true or false. So here how he's using jnanam is in that way, just a simple cognition. And so he's saying here, the word bodha nama means knowledge. And then he says, repeat after me, tetcha indriyartha sannikarshadina jayate samutpadyate. Okay. He says, tetcha, or to break the sandhi, tetcha indriya artha sannikarsha adina jayate samutpadyate. We'll just do this and then stop here. So he says, what we call bodha is jnanam, a cognition. Tatcha, and that. And that what? And that jnanam, and that cognition. Indriya artha. Indriya means the sense organs. Artha means the objects of the sense organs. So the indriya and the artha, the object of the indriya, the sense organ. Sannikarsha. Sannikarsha is a technical word, and it means the coming together of the sense organ with the sense object. So if you say indriya artha sannikarsha, means the contact of the sense organ with the sense object, right? So that would be pratyaksha, sense perception. But then he says, so he gives that as a definition of pratyaksha, right? Indriya, sense organ, artha, object, indriya artha sannikarsha is just, he could get away with just saying sannikarsha, because sannikarsha itself can stand for that. But it could also mean something else. So he says, expanding on the technical term, he says, indriya, sense organ, artha, object of the sense organ, sannikarsha, the contact. But then he says, adi, etc. So that would mean a pratyaksha, paroksha. Pratyaksha jnanam would be direct knowledge or indirect knowledge or inference or a presumption or all of the different means of knowledge. So that adi is standing for for all of the means of knowledge available. Tatcha, and that jayate is born, samutpadyate is produced. For no reason, he's just decided to give you a synonym. That is born, that is produced, right? By the contact of the indriyas with their sense objects and all the other means of knowledge. Okay? And then he's going to go on with a long argument here.
Where's this
leading to? It's leading to understanding why the word, what the word Bodha means.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, let's say our prayer. After a moment. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.